There are tough rooms for salesmen and tough rooms for politicians and tough rooms for teachers and grant applicants and job interviewees and doctoral students taking their orals. But I think the classic tough room, the tough room that defines them all, is when a comedian stands in front of a silent audience, delivering one joke after another and getting nothing back whatsoever. And there is no tougher audience than other comedians.
All right, here we go. Global warming proven by one 50-degree day in January. Area man just wants to know if he should cancel his annual Oscars party or not. Nation guesses it will have the chicken Caesar salad.
It's Monday morning in the offices of The Onion. And to start the new issue, each of the writers has brought in a list of 15 headlines for their fake news newspaper. There are 8 people at the table, 7 men and 1 woman, which is par for the course in the comedy business. Almost all of them in their 20s. Seth Reese goes first. He's just 24, been in the paper for 2 years. And the way it works is, if Seth can convince 2 people to vote for a headline, he survives one more day till the next round of editing.
Star of David to add 7th point. Report, America runs
wait,
on...
I'm sorry, I got no votes. I just didn't understand why that was funny, and I was going to ask for it, but
I just think it's silly, but...
Okay. I'm just saying, I just didn't...
The joke survives. Seth marks it with a highlighter. I came here because by the time they're done with this process, The Onion is one of the most reliably funny things out there. And I'd heard that one of the reasons for that was this room. It was a very tough room with a tough-minded editorial process that they've been using for 20 years. And I wanted to see what that meant.
Car commercial pretty adamant about car.
Yeah.
Class struggle a breeze for local investment banker. Todd?
Now you're just calling out who you want to vote for them? That's not right.
Though it's incredibly popular, with 750,000 copies in print each week, plus 5 million individual visitors at the website every month. It's possible that, especially if you're older, you have never actually read The Onion. So here's what you need to know. It's written in newspaper form, though lots of the funniest stories aren't really news parody, but just everyday life described in a deadpan newspaper style. Like, stoners announce plans to get stoned for that. Or, rejection letter silently flipped off. Or, control of anecdote wrested from boyfriend. These are all considered for this one issue, by the way. The younger staffers say that it's hard not to take what happens in this room personally sometimes. Seth Reese tells me that he's made a resolution to stop muttering under his breath, "You're all wrong," when the group rejects his headlines, because, after all, they can't all be wrong. Megan Gantz, who's 23 and who's been at the paper for a year and a half, says it can be a blow, and it smarts, when a headline that you're sure of, that you love, doesn't make the cut.
And it happens a lot. And then all of that work just evaporates into nothing. There are headlines that I remember pitching that I think I know that they're not any good, but some part of my heart's like attached to them. Like, I had this one that was "Spork used as knife," and for some reason that was like the funniest thing I thought I'd ever thought of, was the fact that here's a utensil that's 2 utensils and you're using it as the only utensil it isn't. And it didn't even get a titter in the meeting. It just, nothing, just died. And I read it twice and they were like, yeah, move on. And then still, that was like, oh, that must have been this summer. It was like months ago that I wrote that headline. I still think about it.
World's most depressing technical college creates world's most depressing bus ad. It's a slight variation on one that I've gotten through before. Okay.
The highlighter is passed to Todd Hansen, who's not just the oldest person at the table. He's been at The Onion longer than anybody else. He started in 1990 when The Onion wasn't really a business, but more of a hobby for a few friends who all worked crappy jobs elsewhere to support themselves. In these meetings, he tends to talk the most, partly out of seniority and partly, as he admits, because he just can't be any other way. Though when he reads his list, he's just like any of the other writers. And this is really the damnedest thing about their jobs. Even with all his years of experience, even he can't tell which of his brand new jokes is any good.
Man evidently thinks those sideburns make him look cool. It's not funny.
I kind of like that.
Really?
Kind of.
Is it funny with something other than sideburns?
Yes.
No? Okay. All right. Pornography desensitized populace demands new orifice to look at.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Area man not technically pathetic in that he fails to elicit pathos.
But are you just making a joke about how some people incorrectly use the word pathetic?
I just meant, you know...
It takes him two long mornings, on Monday and on Tuesday, to come up with the 16 headlines I'm going to use in the paper this week. And to get to those 16, they go through, and I know this number is going to sound kind of crazy, 600 possible headlines.
Okay, this is a sad joke that comes straight from real life.
Oh, boy.
Casual relationship enters third year.
So that's still going on? I'm sorry. That wasn't to be mean. That was a legitimate question, because we've talked about it before.
Truthfully, the staff was a lot nicer to each other than I figured they'd be. Comedians can be incredibly competitive. And The Onion has gone through phases when the chemistry wasn't so chill. But mainly, they're just tough on the material. It's a tough room because of how minutely they dissect all the jokes. Over the years, they've developed a way of discussing the material that helps them decide whether something is so outstandingly funny, it beats a lot of other jokes that are also pretty funny, and what makes each joke funny, and how to make it funnier. As an outsider, and not privy to these shared assumptions and what one of them called their hive mentality, it was sometimes hard to figure out why, for instance, local girlfriend always wants to do stuff was a good enough headline to make it into the paper, while a headline that seems nearly identical, nation's girlfriend's call for more quality time, literally gets jeers. Jeers. Listen.
Nation's girlfriends call for more quality time.
Or nation's wives spend all the husband's money on expensive hats. They're coming home with another round-shaped box. Look at that stack of round boxes.
I'm pregnant.
Lucy!
Or why does this joke get immediate, unquestioning approval?
Beauty regimen, horrifying.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. That's funny.
While the headline, Roommate's Unopened Bag of Doritos Taunting Area Man, deserved a long discussion over whether the point of the joke was, in fact, the taunting.
The reason it's funny is because the word taunting,
he's been staring at it from a distance of 15 feet from his couch for the past 10 minutes.
Or did the Doritos themselves make the joke too obvious?
It would be funny and it'd have funny details in it, but it is... On its immediate surface, it's a joke about, like, Doritos and, like, sure. Food item to,
no,
like...
I agree that Doritos has, like, an immediate, like, go-to kind of snack. Is there another snack it could be?
I mean, Doritos is the exact right product for...
Watching them parse jokes like this with a kind of academic precision that they're sort of proud of, hour after hour, it's not just tedious. It's the opposite of comedy. And the other thing that was very odd watching them work was that most of the jokes that got the biggest laughs from the writers themselves... did not make it into the paper. For example, this headline.
Cardinal teaches Pope to make church by interlocking his fingers.
Yes.
Or this one.
Gay retard teased.
That's so awful.
Well, here's another.
Infertile woman treats frog-shaped humidifier as human child.
What?
And what the hell? Let's just do one more.
Biologist realizes he's been studying Cadbury egg.
After the meeting, I get explanations for the many mysterious decisions I've witnessed. I'm told that usually the jokes that get laughs on Monday do not survive. Again, Megan Gans.
A lot of the jokes that we laugh really hard at don't make it in the paper because they're just like initially funny, but then we sit down on Tuesday and go... Well, what does that mean, though? Like, what would we say about that? Where does that joke go? Like, there was a headline once that everyone laughed at, like, really hard, that was a woman crying by penguin exhibit. Do you guys remember this headline? Woman sobbing near penguin exhibit. And everyone laughed really hard. And then everyone went, okay, but why is that funny? Like, it's funny because it's penguins, I guess. And, like, women crying is kind of a weird thing to be happening near them. But then... nobody would pitch that on a Tuesday meeting as being funny, even though it made everyone laugh. Nobody would pitch that because what do you write about that? It doesn't go anywhere.
And then there was this mystery. Why did the story, local girlfriend always wants to do stuff, make the paper, while nation's girlfriends call for more quality time, got heckled? Todd Hansen and Dan Guterman explained that the story that went with local girlfriend always wants to do stuff was actually written in a way that made fun of the guy in the relationship.
And talking about what a, you know, sort of lowly, you know, loser he is for being irked by his girlfriend's desire to do things. It's just more like she's always wanting to go do stuff and be around people, and she always wants to leave the house.
And that seemed more original and different to us. Whereas Nation Girlfriends, what was it?
Call for my quality time.
Just seemed like a joke about nagging girlfriends.
And the problem with a joke about nagging girlfriends isn't the political correctness of it, but simply it's a really tired joke.
It's a really tired joke.
In fact, all through their editorial meetings, they're talking constantly about what jokes are tired. A joke about the Green Party and marijuana brownies was killed partly because mentioning the Green Party at all seemed passé. A headline about Nicole Richie's new baby, "Nicole Richie thinks baby looks fat," was ditched on the theory that any Nicole Richie fat or anorexia reference was very 2005. But one area where tastes differ on the staff is when it comes to silliness. They're for silliness. Sometimes. Take the joke, scientist realizes he's been studying Cadbury egg, that got such a big laugh on Monday. It's just a silly joke, says Megan.
Like, we do silly jokes, granted. But it just doesn't have... it doesn't have that, like, X factor of being silly and kind of compelling. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't have... I can't explain what the difference is between that one and we ran one that was "Thirsty Mayor Drinks Town's Entire Water Supply." And that one, we had the same reaction when it was read. We laughed really hard, and then it went in the paper. And why is that one sillier and in a better way than the other one is silly? It's just, it's funny because it's almost always agreed upon in the meetings.
Almost, but not quite. When Todd Hansen and I sat down for an interview, he spontaneously brought up the exact same headline Megan had mentioned that'd make a very different point.
No, don't get me wrong. I like the silly jokes. I just have to think them through and find out what they're saying. Like, I remember there was a joke, "Thirsty mayor drinks entire town's water supply." And I kept saying, why? What is it? It's a thirsty guy drinks a whole lake? Like, what's funny about that? That's just silly. It's silly in a way that isn't funny. And they're like, no, you got to trust us. It's funny because he's the thirsty mayor. He drinks the whole town. And they were trying to explain to me, and I just didn't get it. And then finally it clicked in my head, and I said, oh, I get it. It's about misappropriation of public resources by a corrupt, you know, ruling you know, oligarchy or whatever. And then everyone made fun of me like, oh, yeah, that's what it's about. It's not just silly. Well, of course it's silly, but it has something to say, and that's why it's funny. That's what I think. I mean, I just don't think jokes that don't have anything to say are that funny. If you can't find something legitimate to say within the context of the joke, no matter how silly it is, I don't see the point of it.
In fact, to sort this out, a whole language has emerged over the years at The Onion to talk about whether something is too silly or silly in the wrong way. Writers speak about a joke taking them to Silly Town or Crazyville or Silly Town Heights, which is either good or bad, depending on the person. And it can be bad, though it's usually good, when something is called a laugher. That's laugher with two Fs. A laugher is a big dumb joke that you have to laugh at. If the photo that accompanies a story is a sandwich holding a press conference, that's a laugher. And the whole story is a laughertunity. Laughers are often the most emailed stories, the most popular things that The Onion does. And while everybody on staff likes both silly jokes and jokes with a bigger meaning, a few of the younger writers definitely have more tolerance for jokes that are purely silly and a different vision for what should go in the paper. And there were a couple times during the editorial meetings that I watched where the two sides squared off against each other. At one point, they were discussing two headlines that covered very familiar ground at The Onion. "Plan to stay in all weekend and play video games goes off smoothly," and "Area man makes it through day." Seth, one of the newest staffers, and Todd, the oldest, saw these very differently.
Especially the video game one. It seems very Onion by the numbers.
That's kind of why I liked it.
I know, but it's like almost to a point where it's like that sentiment. I don't think we're doing anything new there.
I don't know. I just think that is the Onion's ethos. I mean, that's kind of like what the Onion is about. I mean, that's what America
I feel
is.
Like you've done that joke.
The reason we've done that joke before is America has been like that for, you know, a long time, and it still is.
But the sentiment is so similar to the sentiment of a lot of Onion, like, headlines that people aren't gonna notice that. They're just gonna be like, oh, the Onion does this again. I don't know, it just doesn't feel right.
I'm gonna keep writing jokes like that till the day I die, so I'm just warning you.
At the heart of this dispute is a problem that comes up in any creative project that lasts even a few years. You don't want to become a parody of yourself. You don't want to keep repeating the same things over and over. And yet there are some things that you do a lot of that are just built into the DNA of what you make. This is definitely something that we struggle with here on our radio show. And in fact, The Onion once did an article that made fun of us for rehashing certain kinds of stories, which is funny, and it stung. Megan Gantz says that as one of the newer writers on staff, she worries sometimes that they're just repeating the same jokes over and over with different words. There's the one, for instance, where a big government institution just acts like your schmo college roommate, like Syria attends Mideast peace talks for free continental breakfast. Funny, but it's a formula.
And now they have, like, with the youngs and olds, the problem is all of the young people grew up reading the stuff that the older people wrote. So we formed our sense of humor on the Onion and then became writers for the Onion. You're trying to write for your idols. It's strange. It's strange for us. I know we've talked about it many times, the young people here. It's strange for us to, like, write for your idols.
Yeah, but also you're saying to Todd, who's been here forever, like, yeah, you can't do that again. Don't do that joke again. I'm tired of that joke.
Ah, that is really horrible, isn't it? So I've been trying to, like, mimic him throughout my life to get to where I am. And now that I'm where I am, I'm like, don't do what you do.
In the end, Area Man makes it through day, makes it onto a list of stories that will appear in upcoming issues of The Onion. Probably because the founder and editor-in-chief of the paper, Scott Dickers, liked it. But this disagreement wasn't even close to the biggest fight they've all had lately. That fight, I'm told, was over the headline, "Ghost Just Dropped By to Say Boo." One group 100% hated it. One group 100% loved it. People raised their voices. One usually mild-mannered editor walked out in protest.
I guess people kind of read it as like a third-grade joke book joke.
Editor Joe Randazzo says it was an existential fight about what kind of paper they were that would or would not publish such a thing.
One member of staff may love The Onion that would never have Ghosts Just Drop By to Say Boo, while another member of staff may love the fact that The Onion can include a joke that says, "Ghosts just drop by the state to say boo." It's totally subjective, though.
Finally, the editor-in-chief had to tell everybody to cut it out, and they published the joke. And this one headline did not ruin the paper. But a room full of people who'd even entertain the possibility that it might, who feel that strongly about it, that's a very tough room.